This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Else, good morning, everyone. I'm Yaku, if you don't know me yet. Well, I don't know everyone, but it's good to be here. Heinrich is there in Paul this morning with his family. And I just quickly want to share something about what God is doing in our church at the moment, and also what's coming out at intercession as we prepare for the conference. We're praying about our conference, Sound of the Harvest, that's coming up. And I know we've seen a lot of the clips of the speakers, but it's also important to prepare for what's coming. It's a privilege for us to host the conference this year. Heinrich has also mentioned something of that last week, where we as the host congregation can be here and just receive people and bless them. But something that came out at intercession is where God is asking us, ask me for the nations. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. And it's something that we've been praying about it all the time. And I want to invite you, if you want to come join us on Monday evenings at Heinrich's house, come and pray with us. That's where we hear and we find out what is God doing, what is He laying on our hearts, and we start praying about these things. But it's important to prepare our hearts. The other thing that God is telling us is He's walking the streets. He's walking through these streets and He's inviting us to take hands with Him, to walk with Him. So we know when you meet someone for the first time, it's almost like a honeymoon season. You ask something and they ask something and it's all fine. And then you get to know one another a bit better, and you start asking a few more questions, and it's fine, and it's just easy conversations. But after a while, there might be a change. Either someone is going to you're going to share something more about your heart. You're going to trust the person to receive, and you hope that they will share as well. Else, it's going to be very shallow relationship. But often we are afraid, I'm just sharing, sometimes we are afraid of going deeper. We're afraid of sharing more. We're afraid of asking questions. We're afraid of what they're going to find out. And maybe something is going to come out and they're not going to like me anymore. And similar to that, I realized that God is also taking us on a journey right now. But for some, sometimes we feel that we don't want to get too intimate with the Lord because we're afraid of what's going to come out. We're afraid of what's going to be exposed. And we can relax. Amen. God knows you. He knows all your issues. Don't know if you know Rafael Nadal, tennis player. So do you know about his issues? When you play, you guys must watch it. You will, every time when he sits there between the sets, then he drinks his water and then he starts fiddling with the bottle. And then he aligns it, the labels. He aligns all those labels. Then he takes his next bottle that he just drank from and then he aligns that one. Be totally in line with this one. And then he's got a whole thingy before each serve, and then his touch here, touch there, ready. And he serves. So some say that's part of getting in the zone. Others say it's just annoying. He's got his rhythm, and he's going through all of that. And the same with us. We've got little things that we do, little things that this is how I do it, this is what I want to do, this is my rhythm, this is how I'm going to do it today. And often we don't want people to come and tell us that's not right or why are you doing it. We just want to do our things and life must just go on. You know, I just realized God is aware of all those things. He's aware of our issues. He's aware of the stuff that we do that we don't want other people to know about. He knows everything, and he still loves us. Every time I'm reminded that we come into church, we come into small groups, we walk, we visit friends, we go to work, and there's people that irritate us. There's people that irritate me, okay? That's fine. And then we think, yeah, again, this guy. I just want to go through this day not talking to this guy. Or I'm just going to stay with my earphones. When I was programming, I put earphones in all the time. Not listening to anything, but people, they just leave you when they see you've got earphones in your ears. You must try it. It really works. You don't have to listen to anything. So they just leave you. And I realized that Jesus came for people. All these people that irritate me, Jesus came for the same people. And he loves all of them. And he wants to reach out to all of them, the same people. So I need to investigate my heart and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me to walk with you. As we're praying about convergence, the conference that's coming up, the sound of the harvest, we're asking ourselves all the time, what are the things that's going on? What do we see? What do we hear? Lord, you walking through the streets. What are the sounds that's coming up? And these are the things that we're going to focus on all the time leading up to conference. And this month, maybe you missed it now, we're going to fast on every Monday. But just doing whatever you can do. Sometimes we hear fast and it's like, oh man, I need to drink less coffee, because I'm going to get a serious headache. And that's all that we think about. But it's not that. God wants to do something special. Like we hear these testimonies, one word from God can change everything. So it's just an invitation to set aside something, to focus, to shift our focus, and to spend some time with the Lord and to hear His voice and to hear from Him. And amazing things are going to happen, but it's challenging. The last year, maybe for some of you as well, it was a challenging year for me. And even if you get hurt and people say stuff that happens, it affects our hearts. So you might be a friendly guy, you might say hello to everyone, but after a few times getting hurt or stuff that happens, over time, things change, and you're not so friendly anymore, and you're not inviting people anymore, because what happens, something changed in our hearts, and I believe the Lord want to come, and you just want to say, it's fine, you can trust me what's in your heart, but trust me to take you on a journey to connect your heart with other people again. Once I had this amazing testimony, it was at the Foster Conference. This lady that looked after babies, and then after a few months, she must hand them over again. Either they go back to their homes, or they go to other parents that's going to foster them. She just had them for 2 or 3 months. And she said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. The pain is so much of taking these children and handing them back. The pain is too much. And in that moment, she was just driving in a car and crying, and the Lord said, but I can heal your heart every time. Don't stop doing it. And what happens with us, we get hurt, we will say stuff, and then say, I don't want to do that ever again. That's what we do. We say, I don't want to do that. Something that God has stirred in your heart, you start doing it, someone come, and that has hurt you. People, sometimes we do things to people it's really ugly. We say things that was not necessary, comes out of the heat of the moment. But God is saying that I can heal your heart every time. I can restore you every time. And that's a tough one. Because it's easier we think it's easier and better just to leave it. I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm just going to move. I'm just going to not talk to that one. I just want to leave it. But God is busy restoring, he's busy healing, he's busy doing amazing things. But we need to trust him and not be afraid what's going to come out. Not be afraid to engage with him. So this is the Lord. As we pray about conference, as we think about these things, this is the picture. Jesus is walking. He's already walking. He's already busy. In the Helderberg, at home, everywhere. He's busy in our lives. And it's just an invitation to take hands with him and to walk with him. And he's doing amazing things already. I'm reminded about Jonah. You guys know Jonah in the Bible? I'm just going to share something about that. Because similar things happened to Jonah. It's always nice for the children love the story enough that when my kids were small, I hear them sitting in the bath and they played Jonah. I said, and the fish took Jonah, and it's always nice. They spit him out somewhere, and you see the toys flying all over. So, but it's a real, it happened. The word is more, the fish is actually a big animal. But all those things, and sometimes we just read the story and we just go on and say, okay, that's a nice thing. I'll tell it to my kids. And we don't think about it a bit more, what's really happening there. Jonah was a prophet. He heard God's voice. And I assume that often he would sit or be someone or somewhere or walk, and then God will come and tell him something. So most of the time that was fine. No worries, it fits into this is what I'm going to do, this is the word, and they bring it to the Israelites, everything is okay. It's amazing that his dad's name was Amittai. It means truth. So often in the Bible they will say Jonah, the son of Amittai, the son of truth. So they spoke that his name and who he is over him all the time. And the prophet that's bringing the word of God. And that was just proclaimed over him. And in Jonah 1 verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. Man, that's a bold move. Hey, don't you think? God is telling him, go there, and he arrives, and he goes, I'll show you now. He rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them away from the presence of the Lord. So quickly, I'm going to show you a photo on the slides. Maybe you can't see it so well, but on this side, there is Joppa. Nineveh is that way. Tarshish is, it's a long way in the other direction. Okay, just show the next slide. Okay, the sea is on this side, if you can't see it. That's where Jonah went. Nineveh is on the other side. He was quite a way off. Yeah, it's almost like Google Maps sometimes. They take you places. So why was it so difficult for him just to hear the voice and just to do it this time? I thought maybe it was because this word was related to the Gentiles. This was different. So it's similar. We're gonna pray. We are praying about the area. We are praying about God preparing our hearts. Show us things for convergence. God, show us, give us your heart for the people. Give us your heart for the people that we see all the time. But sometimes a word is going to come that's going to be different from what we've expected it to be. And I think this is what happened here with Jonah. He said, Lord, no. I'm not gonna go with this. And he had a good reason for it. The Syrian armies, they were there. They destroyed Israel. They utterly destroyed lots of people. They They conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they were coming to attack the south. It was wild, and they were really evil people. They had a lot of idol worship. They did a lot of sacrifices, even child sacrifices. There's sexual immorality. That's all the stuff that was going on. Some call it the city of bloodshed, this place, Nineveh. And now God is telling him, you must go to them and share a message to these guys in the midst of, that's like going into his enemy's camp, into their headquarters, and tell them this is what God is saying. The city was really big. They said there was, later we'll see, 120,000 Keats. That's big. They say it was about 3 days to walk. So in those days, a day's journey was about 20 kilometers. So 3 days, it's from here to, about to Cape Town. If you imagine this city of Nineveh, it's massive. And God is calling him to go there and to speak to this people. And it's amazing because he lived during those times. He lived, he saw what they did. He saw, he probably got the news and he saw all the articles. And maybe even worse, some of his own people were affected by what happened. Some of it was really close to his heart. So he fled. And the thing is, he knew God. He knew that if they're going to repent, God is going to save them. It's like all this stuff going through his heart. And he's trying to think, this is what they're doing. This is what they did to me, to my family, my people. But this is God. He's an almighty God. And if they repent, maybe he's going to save them. So Jonah 1 verse 4, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. The mariners were afraid, each cried out to his God. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, had lain down, was fast asleep. That's amazing. He had bigger worries than the storm. He's running away from God, so I think he's just sleeping. And so the captain came and said, "What do you mean you sleep? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish." And they say basically, "Why are you here? Who are you? What are you doing?" He say, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." So these guys are afraid of a storm and he's telling them, I serve the God that made all of this. So then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing. And they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you have done as it pleased you." So they pick up Jonah, threw him in the sea. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So now these pagan sailors on the ship, they are connecting to God. And the prophet is just running away. And it's actually amazing his interaction of these guys and how their hearts are actually starting to turn. And they just start to pray and engaging with God, making sacrifices to God. They're doing everything they think is necessary. It's required of them. And Jonah's just going. And now he's in the water, and we know the big animal, the fish came to him. And now he's in trouble. Okay, so now it's different from being on a boat in a storm. Now you're inside something. And what does he do? He default to what he knows. He cries out to God. He's in trouble. He prayed to God. He said, "Lord, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish. It vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Maybe he started to make deals and say, Lord, if you do this for me, I will have Bible study every morning for the rest of my life. I will read my Bible and you don't have to worry. I will never do this ever again. Sometimes we do stuff like that. I remember lying in a bathroom. I had your food poisoning. That's bad. It takes you down. And then I started thinking, maybe I must say, Lord, maybe every morning reading my Bible, it's in this. I don't know. But I was never, it was the first time I was there in that moment. So just being real, it happens. We start making deals, we talk to God, say, Lord, help us. So now Jonah is out on the beach again. So now 3 days in the belly of that fish or in the animal, obviously he looks different now. Okay? Some say he's some of the rumors or the stories say that when he came out of there, he was just white. It's like being in jig. In that inside of the, there's a lot of stuff going on our tummies. So yeah, so it did something to him. Amazingly, some of the books, if you're going to research and read up about the time, they say that the Syrians and Nineveh, they had this story or this legend of someone that's going to come from the sea and bring us a message. So now he's coming, running away from the Lord. Okay, and yeah, so you see what's happening here. Now he's again there, and God's voice comes to him again. And he said, the second time, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, call out against it the message that I tell you. So he arose, he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now he's going there. So obviously when he came there, they saw this. Anyone that knew about the rumors and the stuff, they will know there's something coming. And he didn't want to give them, he didn't want to prepare a great sermon for them. He tried to keep it as short as possible. That there's no, they're either going to get it or they're going to miss it. And if they miss it, that's great because at least I've said something. So he kept it very short. And he said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth. We read how everything, even the king came from his throne, and when God saw what they did, how they turned from the evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And Jonah was not happy. He said, this is exactly what I said is going to happen. So, but he's not done yet. He said, maybe everything is not going to play out. So he's just going to sit outside the city, and he's just going to watch it. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord, said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee. For I knew that you are a gracious God. Listen to this. I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. This is what he knew. This is the God that we serve still today. Merciful, full of love. And then he said, please take my life. It's better to die. So he's very depressed now. And he builds a shelter. And he just sits there outside the city. Because I think he just wanted to check. Maybe they're going to repent, but not everyone is going to repent. And at least maybe something is going to happen. And I will be there to see it firsthand. Everything that's going to happen there. So he's still optimistic. And then he made a booth for himself and see what's going to come. And the Lord appointed a plant. Still God looking out for him. After all this that he went through, made it come over Jonah that might make shade over him to save him. So he was happy. It's a plant. It's hot. Now he's very happy. God. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that might attack the plant. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind. And then again, Jonah is saying, it's better for me to die. Because there was a plant, he's happy, now it's gone. It's a worm, he's sad, he just wants to die. But just see all the stuff going through his, just think about the stuff that's going through his emotions. And this is now when God came to Jonah, and he said, okay, Jonah, you need to realize what's going on in your heart. Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. He's very honest, and he's speaking to God. And Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night. Should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? That's children. 120,000 children and all the other people. Should I not pity them? So God is saying, Jonah, you're just thinking about yourself. You're just thinking about this plant. You just think about this and this. And you don't care. But shouldn't I care about all these people? And shouldn't you care as well? And God came and exposed something in his heart. He showed him, you're just thinking, you're very selfish. You think, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want this. I want, Lord, to give me words for people, but I want it to fit into my paradigm. I want it to fit into what I want to do. And that word I will give, this word I'm not sure of, that one, yes. And he had this battle, and the Lord just exposed his heart. He said, I want to work for you, Lord, but this is what I want to do. I want to do this, but. And for me, it's challenging, because we're praying about a conference. We're praying about what God, prepare our hearts for the harvest. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for what's coming. Show us the sound. Show us the sounds that's coming up from the streets. And we want to encourage you to bring anything that you feel God is laying on your heart to pray about those things. But at the same time, we're going to be challenged. Because God is he's walking. He's walking the streets. Those words that came out at intercession. And he said, take my hand. Walk with me. Take my hand. Do this. Take my hand. Do this. Do this. And sometimes we'll have to step out of our comfort zone. We might even have to talk to people that we don't like. We have to go to places where you don't want to go. We have to do things to be the answer of our own prayers. Because it's nice to pray, Lord, just do that for that people. Just do that for them. And do that for them. And then God goes, okay, so you can do it. Let's do it. I said, no, 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 Lord. I'm just praying for them. You do it. Let someone else come and do it. And let someone else come in there. And Lord said, okay, right, let's do it. Because if we pray the will of God, we are really in partnership with the Almighty God. A God that loves people, a God that loves us, a God that wants to save and do all these amazing things. That's why when we go out wherever, and you say, Lord, give me a word for someone, give me an image, we can really be bold, because that's the heart of God, to speak to his people. That's the heart of God, to connect with people. And you know, those guys at the robots, they not people in traffic now. I know how it goes. You start out the day, it's an amazing day. You had nice breakfast. Everything is wonderful. You're at your quiet time. You pray. You're ready. You're going to go to work. This is how everything is going to play out. And then, the first robot. There's cars, and someone shout and hoot, and you say, you idiot. And then you just go on with life. And something happens again. And sometimes you think, where did that come from? Or it's just children. You can get everything ready for school, everything. And just as you leave the house, one kid slams the other one's hand in the door. that is game over. That is like pulling up the handbrake, you're going nowhere. And then you say, I've got a meeting. That doesn't matter. And I must be there. It doesn't matter. And then as you're just opening the car, the one of them said that, Daddy, I forgot something in my room. I must have it. So now you must unlock everything again and go back in. And by that time, most of us, we're not so chilled anymore. There's a different thing that comes out. I'm just sharing. Yeah. Maybe some of you can relate. But sometimes we just need to go and sit and ask the Lord, Lord, what is going on in my heart? What is going on in my heart? Why am I behaving like this? Because this is not who I am. I don't want to be like that. And that's fine. You can come to the Lord. He's not going to be intimidated. He's not going to, yeah, he knows everything already. And the best is he loves you with all the stuff. He loves you. And that's the amazing place where we can come and say, Lord, I really want to partner with you. I want you, Lord, to help me. Because each one of you, you've got a gift that you bring. You've got an amazing gift. You've got amazing ability. There's people that's close to you, people that you could connect with. There's people that you see all the time where God is just giving you a gift, a word of encouragement, a word to say something, a smile, something that you have in your hands that you can just give to someone else on the way somewhere. But when we start to partner with God, we can have whatever, but nothing is insignificant. Nothing is too little. Nothing is too small. Just a smile can change someone's life. And I was thinking about, yeah, this praying, and we're praying and we're asking God and at intercession. And I'm actually starting to ask the Lord, prepare my heart, God, but give me a boldness. Give me a new confidence. Because I know when we hear things, it's an amazing place to be. But it can be a bit of a scary place as well, but that's fine. It's with the Almighty God. I shared it maybe last year or something, but just a story. When I felt that I must go on missions to Thailand. I had everything ready, and I needed money. So I said, Lord, I don't have money, and now the deadline is coming up. And I remember driving on the N2 to Rondebosch, and suddenly it popped in my mind, let's buy and sell a car. And I thought, no, where did that come from? It was a bit of a random thought. I'm not a car dealer, just to, that everyone is on the same page. And I said, okay. So I said to the Lord, okay, I feel this is from the Lord. So and it's a Nissan Micra. That was the car. I remember now I saw the car and I felt, Lord, say, buy and sell that car. And you have money for missions. So I said, okay, Lord, if two Nissan Micras pass me before the next turn off, it's game on. So, but each one of you, you will have a unique way. I trust that you will hear God's voice. Because God he wants a relationship with each one. There's no recipes. For me, it's sometimes these random thoughts. And in those moments, because I will sit in my car on my bike, I just chat to the Lord. So this thought comes, so I just respond, two cars, Lord. For next turn off, I thought, nah, it's not going to happen. And then, whoop, whoop. I said, oh. There are two. And that night, I had to pick up someone in Goodwood, at Voortrekker Road. So I said, Lord, maybe. What about if there's a Nissan Micra parked from here? I see a stop street down there. Before I reach the stop street, park next to the road. Then it's really, really game on. And I looked down the road. I thought, no, it's fine. So I drove down, and on the right, when I stopped under the tree, a Nissan Micra. So I said, okay. So that night, long story short, I was praying with my kids. I said, I feel this is what God's telling me. Because I was asking for money and I must buy and sell a car. So I said, I'm going to put an offer in on this car that I saw. And then if the man responds, then we're buying it. Because this is what I feel God is telling us to do. So a week goes past, another week, and suddenly an SMS one day. I was sitting next to Pastor Gerard from Paul. I got the SMS and I said, oh dear, I'm in trouble. I'm buying a car. The next day I saw the car, and as I test drive it, I felt the Lord saying, tell the guy you're buying it, because we've discussed this already. I'm buying the car. So I said, I just got out because I wanted to test drive, and there was a few things that I didn't like. You know, the scrapes and stuff in the dent. And I said, okay. I got out, I shook his hand, I said, tomorrow we pay. I'll bring the money, I meet you right here. I'm buying the car. So I went home, said to Lee, yo, now we're in trouble. Tomorrow I'm buying a car. So I start just doing whatever I can do. Start phoning people, telling them this is what's happening. Lord, help me. And tell other people to pray. That's what you do. You get a few people, you ask them to pray, and other people you ask advice. And you try to figure out all of this. And as you talk to the Lord, you just look for a next step. Just a next step. And there's a friend of mine, I phoned him, said, tell me everything about getting money from the bank. Everything. But quickly. So he explained to me the whole list. He said, you can't do it before tomorrow. I said, I don't care. Just tell me everything. So everything, I was in a meeting. After that, I was on my way to the bank. And then he phoned back and he said, he and his wife discussed it and they're going to borrow me the money against interest. So I said, right, we're moving forward. So the next morning, money is in. I see the guy. I tell him, okay, buy the car. Money comes in, money goes out. I parked the car at my house. It was Tuesday, God speaking to me. That was not before. But saw the car, the Wednesday, the Thursday afternoon, the car's in my driveway. Now it's paid. And I said, now I'm in trouble. Now I don't have money, and now I bought a car. I said, okay, Lord. So the same thing. And God just reminds me another name, another guy. I phoned him and said, I've got this car. I want to sell it. He came to my house the next day. He looked at it and he bought it. The next day, the money is in my bank account. And then I settled everything. Just like, boom, done. Going on missions. So, so through that process, there were a lot of times where I was afraid. What if this doesn't work out? What if this is all wrong? And in a sense, I actually discussed with Lee, and we said, well, we feel God is in this, so let's just go with it. But it also, there's a lot of things now about personalities and stuff. I would sometimes just step out, and you must take a risk and stuff, but I'm not saying everyone must now go and buy and sell cars. I'm saying that as you spend time with God, He's going to show us things. And we need to step out in obedience. And sometimes things are not going to work out as we think, or as we expect, or as we want it to be. But that's okay. We must be humble enough to say when we made mistakes. Humble enough to say, okay, this is what I felt that's wrong. But that is relationship. And that is what God is calling us into. So in the same time, He's busy with our hearts. And He said, love people, love, do all of this. So, and He said, ask me, hear, open your ears, see. And we're going to be challenged. But it's an exciting journey. So I want to encourage you all, just be part of it. We are a church family. It's amazing what God is doing. It's amazing to see how God has brought people together for a time like this. And when you are in your room, just speak to the Lord and say, Lord, we are praying about the sound of the harvest. It is your harvest. It is your people, God. Show me the next step. Show me what I must do. I just quickly want to show a clip from Pastor Heinrich. He asked that we just share it for this time of prayer and fasting. And then I just want to ask the small groups just to hand out the communion some at the same time. And after the clip, we will just end off.
Greetings, show family. It is such a tremendous privilege this morning here to be able to share a couple of thoughts with you from a very cold and a wet winter's morning in Summers of the West here in the Western Cape, South Africa. And greetings to all of our church family members right across the globe. It is such a tremendous privilege to be part of this incredible church family and for all of you guys to tune in your different congregations as we are in this month of prayer in August, where we are busy just consecrating our hearts and preparing our hearts to be fruitful soil, to receive the seed of what we believe God will be imparting into our lives during Convergence 2019. The theme of Convergence this year is the sound of the harvest. And we are excited about what we believe God will be imparting into our lives and what He will be releasing through our lives as we continue to engage with our communities and with our towns and with our nations where the Lord has planted us. And as a backdrop to our month of prayer, I want to use the parable of the lost sheep just as an illustration for what I believe God during this time, during the season, would be wanting to say to us. It's, of course, a very well-known parable. Most of us know it quite well. And it was one of three parables that Jesus used in response to the Pharisees' question to him, why are you spending, in essence, their question boiled down to this, why are you spending so much time with the lost, with sinners, with prostitutes, with tax collectors? And Jesus' ministry was geared around not Jerusalem, not the temple, not spending time with the religious people of his day, but specifically with people that weren't part of the religious setup. And so in response to their accusation, Jesus comes and he tells them three parables. One is the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, of course. And I'm going to speak to us about the parable of the lost sheep. It's an amazing parable, and within that story, Jesus uses a familiar context, of course, that his audience was familiar with. And he tells them about the shepherd who, at the end of his day, probably like many other days before that, would count his sheep. 10, 20, 30, 40, would count them individually, all the way up to 90, 91, 92, 97, 98, 99, what? One is missing. And he leaves the 99. Back in those days, they, in most cases, had communal sheep pens. And so he leaves the 99 with the other shepherds within the sheep pen. And then he goes out into the wilderness, the Bible says. The wilderness, a hostile environment, an environment that is not conducive for the safety of the sheep. And so this shepherd, imagine, if you will, the scene, goes out into the wilderness, goes out into this place where he knows that this sheep is supposed to be back with the other sheep under the care of the shepherd. And he goes out there looking for the sheep. And as he looks for the sheep, he's not just looking for this sheep, he's also listening. He's listening for a very particular sound. He's listening for the bleating of that sheep's voice. Because that sheep's voice would be an indication to that shepherd as to where the sheep would be finding itself. And his feet would hasten to get to that place. And he would be cutting out all other sounds and just be honing in, focusing on this one sound. And there would be many other sounds, I would presume, that would come. Maybe the sound of little children on their way back home. Maybe the sound of predators in the distance, the sound of thunder or rain. But he would be blocking out all of those sounds and looking for one particular sound, the sound of his sheep. I'm trusting God that during this month, as we prepare our hearts for Convergence, that God will once again open up our ears to hear the sound of the lost around us. Not just the sounds that they make with their mouths, but the sound of their hearts, the sound of the poor, the sound of the brokenhearted, the sound of those who are being held captive by the enemy, the sound of the oppressed, the sound of those mourning, the sound of those who are sitting in ashes amongst ancient ruins, the sound of the widows and the orphans, that we will hear the sound of their cry. And that sound would stir in us a compassion to reach out towards them. The second sound you would notice within the story, if you pay careful attention to it, is not just the sound of the sheep calling out to the shepherd, but the sound of the shepherd calling out to the sheep as well. That sheep would be drawn to the shepherd's voice. That sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd would call that sheep by name, because that sheep wasn't just a number, wasn't just a statistic. That sheep was loved by the shepherd. And it's my prayer that we during this time would have our ears opened to hear the sound of the shepherd calling sheep by name around us, in our families, in our communities, where we are working, where we're going to school. There's a sound that the shepherd is whispering. May we hear the whisper of the names from his heart. And may we here on earth call out the names that he is calling out in heaven. And may there be synergy between the shepherd's voice and our voice calling out to the lost around us. The third and the final sound, as we think about the sound of the harvest, is the sound when everything comes together to its climactic conclusion and all of heaven rejoices as the sheep is brought back home. I believe that God is inviting us, the Lord of the harvest is inviting us into a joy-filled living in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of worldwide pressure, that the Lord of the harvest is inviting his church back into having our joy anchored, not in our circumstances, not even so much in our personal breakthroughs or our congregational breakthroughs, but rooted and anchored in the joy of our salvation. May we sing songs again, celebrating the glorious power of the cross. And may our joy, the climax of our joy, of our yearning, be that moment when others meet our Lord and Savior. May the songs and the laughter and the high-fiving of heaven be reflected here on earth. So the sound of the harvest is the sound of the sheep calling out for salvation. The sound of the harvest is the sound of the shepherd calling the sheep by name. And the sound of the harvest is the sound of heaven and earth rejoicing together. God bless you. We love you. We are so proud of you and pray for you to be everything God has called you to be.
So this morning, as we hear and we take communion, I just want to invite us all to, just where you are as a family, or maybe you just want to do it by yourself, as the band is just going to play in the background, we take communion and just say to the Lord, Lord, this is my heart. This is what's going on at the moment. Because the question is, how will you respond to the sound? How will you respond to whatever God is going to tell us and bring to us, the sound of this harvest? Because God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us individually, and he's speaking to us about the people around us, and the people at work and everywhere. How will we respond? Are we going to run away like Jonah? Or maybe our first response is just, God, what about me and this, that's what's going on in my life? What about this, Lord? Why must I go somewhere else, but this and this and this and this and this is not right in my house? So I want to tell you, God is aware of everything. He's not missing anything. Don't fall for that lie that he's looking over something or he's not close. Don't fall for the lie that because you're not hearing, he doesn't see. That's what our kiddies do. They think is, we don't tell them it's wrong, it's right. If they do stuff, no one comes and say, hey, or no one respond. Maybe they're not there. We grow up with these things that someone must respond, say stuff. It's not like that of God. Even when you don't hear Him, He's close. He sees, He's aware of everything. So maybe that's the first place. I just sense in my heart there's someone that you're saying, Lord, this and this. This is what I'm trusting you for. And now I must pray about other people and the harvest. God is saying that's fine. So this morning as we have communion, you bring that to the Lord. You say, Lord, this is what's on my heart. I'm not there yet to pray for someone else. But that's fine. You bring just your circumstances, everything. That's what God wants. He wants us to engage with our hearts. And someone else, I sense, is just, you're just confused. It's like in this ocean and in the boat and stuff is just going on. You're just confused. So, Lord, there's too many sounds and I can't block it out. And it's so difficult to hear your voice. And whatever is your voice for the harvest and for people, and it's just too much. And I want to invite you and encourage you, then just come with that and say, Lord, please come and quiet the noise. Please come and highlight something. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, show me that you are with me. Give me a hint. I've done that before. I've done it actually, I was desperate sitting in a bank. I said, Lord, they must call my name. I shared it here. If they call my number now, okay, I was very desperate. And I just said, Lord, this. And actually that day, that lady called my number. She said, she's not sure why they called me. Because I jumped a queue. But that was a special moment between me and God. And God wants to give each one of you a special moment where you know this is God speaking to me in a unique way. So how will you respond? They're just going to play and spend some time with the Lord. We're just going to take a moment before we leave. Amen. Let's take communion there where you are. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you that we can bring our hearts before you. Thank you that you love each one of us, Lord. You see each one. And Lord, as we pray about the harvest, your harvest, help us to see, Lord, what you see. Help us to hear. I specifically want to pray, Lord, for those of us that there's so much stuff. There's so many things happening. There's so many noises. Lord, please come and just quiet the noise or help us just to zoom in, to zone in on the right things in Jesus' name. Those of us that's really got hurt, Lord, we don't want to, it's so difficult just to pray for someone else. There's just so many stuff that, so many scars. Thank you, Lord, that I can trust you and we can pray together that you will bring the healing in Jesus' name, that you will restore us, Lord. You will bring healing, Father. And I pray that each one of us will hear your voice. We'll hear your voice in Jesus' name. I really want to ask you, we are finished with our service, but maybe you were, something stirred in your heart. Maybe you just want to hear God's voice again. Or you just want to pray about something, I want to invite you. You're welcome to come forward and we will pray with you and we will stand in faith with you. And there's the others was just a confused. I just see this is a confusion. There's just so much stuff. It's difficult to hear. Difficult to hear from the Lord. I believe if we pray with you, I just sense that maybe there's a word or something that's going to come out and it will just change something in your life. So it's just an invitation. And lastly, if you just feel disconnected from the Lord, as we shared, there's something stirring in your heart and you just long for God again. You just long for that relationship with God. Then come and let us pray with you. Anything else? I'm just gonna ask Hayden just to lead us in another song. I'm gonna pray for us and the service is over. You're welcome to fellowship with us there. And if you're new, go there to the guest corner. But please respond to those words. So I'm just gonna give that. I just wanna share. Just listen to this quickly.
I think this is so, just connects with where our hearts are at. Just to remind us, most of us know this psalm, but just to remind us again of how God is intimately knows us. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
So this week I pondered on God being our fortress. And so in my life, I'm sure in your life, I need a fortress. I need a safe place. So I was just pondering about that. And this morning the Lord showed me something very simple. Is that in a pen. And it's about what His purpose and His love does in our lives. It gives that is our fortress, His purpose and His love in us. And it just may be carrying on with this, but the pen is made of three parts, and this little thing here is quite useless on its own, and this is all the cares and all the trouble and all the things that we deal with, all the stuff that Jacques was talking about. But when it is surrendered and when it is surrounded with the love of God and with the purpose of God, it's a strong thing. It's a purposeful thing. It's a fortress. And this is just, maybe it's for you, it's different for me. But I was asking God this week, what do I do with these things that's in my life that's making it complex? What is the purpose of it in my life? And how can I be in a fortress, protected, and still live out God's purpose? To me, it is surrender those things to God. Ask God, what is the purpose? Ask Him. Ask Him why this is happening, or why this thing is in your life. Ask Him, and He will show you. And He surrounds us with His love and with His purpose. And then this thing can write. Then this thing can do something, and God can use it. And when it is surrounded in that way.
Church. Also during this week, probably adds on to what Daniel was saying, is I just got reminded about the definition of Israel, what Israel means when Jacob, when he actually fought with God. And I'll just quickly read the definition here. It says, God contended, wrestles with God, triumphant with God. And something about us also, if you think about Israel, the definition of Israel, but then also of God's people, the Israelites, but it's people that wrestle with God. In essence, there's such an intimacy in terms of wrestling, and even just flipping through some of the channels on SuperSport, I saw a wrestling match. But it's, I mean, you look eye to eye, it is, there's something, there's an intimacy when it comes to wrestling. And we are God's people, we are Israelites. I got this feeling that there are people that's got thoughts, there are things that's on your mind, but you're not actually wrestling with God through it. You're not actually, and at the end of the day, that it also says being triumphant with God. Jacob, he fought with God, but in essence, it's more of a triumph with God, and you work through stuff with God. And maybe there are a few people that's actually working through stuff, but don't just go and do it on your own. Go and wrestle with God. Go through it with God. And He's called us, and like we sang the songs of God, is His love is just so much more. He loves us throughout, and His love is enduring. It never ends, and there's no end to His love. Even in the times when we might not be in that place where we're feeling God's love in such a way. Yeah, thank you.
Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. All this, the words is coming out. Thank you for dealing with us, Lord. Thank you that you're busy in our lives. Let us pray your blessing on each one, Lord. Pray that each one of us will really partner with you this week, Lord. Spend time with you. Thank you that we can know your voice, we can hear it. Let's pray for a boldness and a confidence for each one, Lord. As we walk, help us to walk in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in front. Please don't just go if you want to pray with us. They're going to play another song. And come forward and let us pray together. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.